You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-da-ha-dee-ho. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Merry Christmas. Welcome to our holiday spectacular. I'm the crime weaver, Tyler.
A holiday spectacular. Joining you also is me, Gordy, or as I'm known this week, Effulgence Johnson.
Effulgence is a beautiful name.
It was my grandmother's.
Well, you should be honored to carry it.
Whose name was Johnson?
Grandmother's.
Oh, I see.
The whole name.
It's my dad's mom.
You're just a reincarnation.
Something like that, yeah. That's what they tell me.
There can only be one Effulgence Johnson in the world at a time.
Weirdly, they were concurrent.
Are you sure?
Just a concurrent reincarnation.
Yes, for a number of years we were concurrent.
It was like a slow soul transfer. Because really for like the first few years as Babby, you're not really a people yet.
Nah. You're getting your soul transferred in still.
Yeah. So all of us, like, that's why we can't remember anything.
It is a long download.
Right.
On that one.
So that's straight why, from Big Bird.
That's why people can't remember stuff from before the age of 3 for the most part, because you are still buffering for that period of time.
You're still being given your soul by Big Bird and Oscar.
Yes.
Are those the soul givers?
Those are the soul givers. That's why it's a public broadcast. It's free for everyone. Except for now that HBO owns everyone's souls.
That was the inevitable end, let's be real.
So I can't wait to hear this Christmas holiday story we have lined up. Carmen, go ahead.
Well, I just received news.
I'm not going to be here next week because I am going to spend time with the family for the holidays. I'm driving to New Hampshire, so we got to record our holiday spectacular this week. Let's do it.
Yeah, so
what holiday thing do we have?
I'm glad you can't see how profusely I am sweating here because... Like I knew
how much you're tugging at your collar.
Yeah, I knew that you were heading to New Hampshire, because time, like the feeling of the passage of time, has stopped for me entirely since October. Mm-hmm. Like I have not felt time pass me since October. The fact that November happened is still a surprise to me. Like every day,
it's still questionable.
I don't remember it. So,
yeah,
I'm unclear on the existence of November. So, like, I got halfway through noting the story, and I was like, oh, it's December now. I should do something holiday-themed. Eh, I'll do it next week. And then so we sat down here, and Tyler's like, well, I guess this is our last recording of the year. And I was like, oh. So,
Maybe there will be another one next week.
We'll see.
Maybe a holiday miracle will be performed.
We'll see what miracles we can pull out of our holly jolly butts. But speaking of butts, I have a gift of sorts for you in this. So it's not particularly holiday themed.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of a present.
What could that mean?
Well, many of my presents aren't holiday themed, so that makes sense to me.
Right. Like,
you don't necessarily have to give somebody a holiday present that is like red and green. You can get them an Xbox.
And a lot of times, really, it is kind of a bummer when you get just like a holiday themed gift. Like, yeah.
Socks are always good. Never turn your nose up at socks.
Oh, I do need more socks, so I wouldn't turn my nose up at socks. But yeah, it, like,
so does everybody all the time.
It's a little bit more of a bummer to get socks that are very specifically holiday themed rather than socks that are just like even the generic white. Because
mm-hmm.
You know that if you're wearing those socks in July and someone sees them, it's going to be an eyebrow raise in your
Someone
office.
Is going to think that you're Santa or that you know Santa.
Or that you're the psychopath from the Santa Claus holiday movie about the cats and the Santa that was allergic to cats, who is just obsessed with Santa. And since that man is the most convincing serial killer I've ever seen on film, I don't want to be associated with him. So
didn't they announce that Santa is immune to COVID or something?
Yes, Dr. Fauci did announce that, which does mean that we have a super spreader.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So we know a single man that has been fucking everywhere in the world, and suddenly everyone has this fucking problem to deal with. I wonder where it came from.
So Santa is what, Typhoid Mary?
Yes.
Well, it did start, you know, roughly a year ago this thing really started popping off.
Mm-hmm. Weird. Weird that. What a coincidence.
Interesting timing. Hmm.
Just about the time Santa does his deeds.
Right around that time that jolly old saint bitch travels the world, giving out joy to all the girls and boys.
And presumably also the non-binaries.
Them as well. They deserve presents as well.
Them also as well.
So we either have a Santa is a Typhoid Mary situation, or Santa is truly immune to COVID, and then we have maybe a Last of Us sort of plot that we can go on, where we try to, like, sneak Santa through the COVID wastelands to a facility that can study him for...
to doctors that will chop him up.
Yeah.
Finally.
Finally we can vivisect that bastard. See what's going on under that jolly red tummy.
Just don't get too close to him over the journey, or you might become Joel.
You might, yeah.
And that doesn't end well for anyone.
Truth.
No, people were very mad about that.
I would like to see a mod of The Last of Us where Ellie just becomes Santa.
Where Ellie is replaced with an enormous fat elf in a red suit.
Yes. So anyway, your gift.
Playing a guitar. Yes, my gift. Thank you. What is it?
It's the one about Coyote going west.
See, I like it when Monkey does it, though.
Well, this time it's Coyote.
Hmm. Maybe I'll like it better. I should be open-minded.
Feifel?
Man, fuck Feifel. I hate that mouse.
You don't like Feifel?
No.
What's wrong with Feifel?
He's a little shitty mouse who can't close his mouth like every Don Bluth character.
Oh, I see.
They're all mouth breathers.
They are all mouth breathers with very large cheeks.
Forgot you were Bluth racist.
Tyler just hates the race of Don Bluth.
I am anti-Bluth. I need to express this grievance because I've never done so on the podcast, I don't think. But
it's hard for me to say because of the number of times I've heard this grievance.
As a fellow animator, I don't understand how that man can look at the world and just say, like, well, I don't know what this character is thinking or feeling right now. I'm going to have them open their mouth and just be agape at the world around them.
Maybe that's how Don Bluth expresses emotion. Maybe he goes through the world like a whale shark with his mouth just wide open, taking in all the wonder.
Well, I await the day that Don Bluth's mouth closes for good.
Wow.
Merry Christmas.
I guess at the end of this we can rank who'd went west better.
I look forward to that.
Coyote, Fievel, or the Monkey King.
I'm gonna put it to the audience. We're gonna make a poll on our Discord.
Alright.
I mean, we can also rank it, but I would like to know our audience's opinion as well.
This is a Thomas King retelling of a Cherokee tale, which will explain a couple of the time discrepancies involved here. He was mm-hmm. born in the 1940s. And presumably told this at some point later than that. So,
did he modernize it for that time? Is that what you're saying?
There is some modernization going on here.
Okay. Well, I mean, we are no stranger to that.
Truth. So he did our job for us a little bit. This was suggested on the Discord by Gabe Halloween Hype, as is their current name. And look, Gabe, I get it. Again, since October, the passage of time has not happened to me. I have not felt it.
I'm feeling that Halloween hype as well. Yeah.
So this is your Christmas gift. A story about a coyote going west.
Courtesy of Halloween hype.
Yes. We're very on top of it this year. We're so good at keeping track of things and existing in the world. We have done a stellar job of that this year. And more so as it's continued to pass on. Anyway, are you two ready?
I'm as ready as I could be.
All right. Yes. I task to you to make up for my failings and get this as full of holiday warmth and cheer as you possibly
festive
can.
Festive whimsy.
Yeah. Coyote was going west to visit her relations, or so she said.
For the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
Done.
Job finished.
Oh, I was going to say, well, I was going to make a big change, but...
Go for it.
We can save it. Coyote is Santa.
All right.
We could have,
I feel that.
We could have three concurrent, like, alternate universes running at the same time with this story.
Santa goes west to visit his family.
Mm-hmm.
To visit.
And also, she's a coyote.
Yes.
And she's a coyote. And Mrs. Claus is a coyote. Also as well.
Lesbian coyotes going west to visit their family and give presents to children.
Yes.
This is the holiday I want to celebrate.
So there we go.
Already
little,
very
little
festive.
Bit of holiday.
And already very modern.
And
modern
the rest
and
of them,
festive.
The rest of them, elves.
Every other character.
So that's what she said, but you've got to watch that one. She's tricky and full of bad business.
Mm-hmm. Since when?
Coyote?
Never heard this about a coyote before.
Well, that's what education's about, Gordy, and that's what you're getting right now.
What about Wile E?
Yeah, is Wile E... What was the Wiley. Word again? He's trustworthy, right?
Yes.
Because
That's his brother, Trustworthy E. Coyote.
Because while he's talking, you know he's telling the truth. I think is why he's named that, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you like read the initial notes for his character, that was like top one.
That makes sense.
No, she says she is just visiting. She's going to see Raven for the holidays.
Simone? Can we get a celebrity cameo in this holiday special?
She is so Raven.
It really would not be a holiday special without that.
That's true. So Coyote comes to my house and wags her tail, making happy noises.
Who are you?
Me.
Are you Carmen?
I'm Grandfather Carmen.
Grandfather Carmen.
Yes.
Being visited by two lesbian coyotes dressed as Santa.
Well, right now it's one lesbian coyote.
Mm.
Potentially she is going to visit her lesbian coyote friend and Raven.
Dressed as Santa. And Raven's alone.
Yeah.
So yeah, she comes to my house, me, Grandpa Carmen, wags her tail, makes some happy noises, and looks around with a toothy smile, and then she puts her nose in my tea. My good tea.
Your good tea? No!
Right, this is why you leave cookies and milk out, so that you don't get coyote noses
in your
tea. Yeah, that's the distraction technique. So I says, get that nose out of my tea. And she says, I'm going to see my friends. And tell those stories and fix this world. Straighten it up.
That sounds like a thing Santa would say. This is becoming more concrete as we go.
Only confirming our narrative. Oh boy, it's pretty scary that though when Coyote decides to fix the world again. So I tell her to sit down and eat. You gotta get that milk and cookies in you.
That's why it only happens once a year.
Right. So it's the lesbian coyote holiday is a slightly scary one.
Scary ghost stories are told.
Yes. Oh, man. Speaking of scary, I haven't pulled the Krampus out this year. I gotta get that going before you leave. this year is just, can we rewind? Can we try November again? Because I missed it.
Let's just redo November.
All right, so I tell her to sit down and eat. It's hard work to fix the world, and maybe she has a song or a good joke. Sure, says Coyote, winking her ears and licking her whiskers. She's also very holly jolly, bowl full of jelly sort of behavior.
Indeed.
I've been reading those books. So I hide my toes because you gotta be careful with Coyote. Sometimes she leaves her skin sitting in the chair, but there's no coyote in it. So it looks like there's a coyote there, but in fact she is sneaking around to bite your toes and make you jump.
That is ghoulish. Just a skinless coyote nipping at your toes. I appreciate that they rewrote it to Jack Frost in that song.
Yeah, like, this is the original, all of the holiday figures. They were all coyote. And someone's
skinless
like,
skinless coyote nipping at your toes.
So I tell her she must be one smart coyote, and she says, you bet. So I ask her if she's got a story for me, and she said, well, she'd been reading the history about who found all the Native Americans. And I laughed and said, well, tell me your story, and maybe some biscuits will visit us, and some moose meat stew will come along to listen to the story, too.
It's always the hope.
Biscuits is another way to say cookie.
It's true.
Checkmate.
I also love the world where telling a story draws delicious food to you. So that
draws
you can,
cookies to you?
Yeah, like you can summon food with a good enough story.
Has that been your plan all these years?
My plan?
Yeah,
as
you've been telling these stories in hopes of cookies arriving?
Yes.
And have they?
Kind of. I think in November.
Cookies arrived?
They did. They weren't for me, but they became partially for me and partially for Tyler because Eric couldn't eat them.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so cookies did show up.
Finally.
All right, so maybe I will tell you the one about Eric the Lucky and the Vikings playing hockey for the old-timers and finding us in Newfoundland. Or maybe I'll tell you about Christopher Cartier looking for something good to eat who found us in a restaurant in Montreal. Or Jax Columbus who come along the river, us waiting for him and waving. So I, Grandpa Carmen, said, look, everyone knows these white man stories. These are baby stories you have in your mouth.
Yeah.
These are the stories that infants tell each other.
Baby dum-dum stories.
In their baby babble.
And she says, no, I read those ones in an old book. And I say, well, you're trying to bite my toes.
You skinless devil.
Those people all came along later. They got lost. They floated around. They got mixed up. They cried about being lost. And we helped them. We helped feed them. We showed them about. And that was a really bad mistake. Which is true, for sure.
You see where we are now.
Yeah, like that really sucked. We shouldn't have done that.
In retrospect.
You are very wise, Coyote said, bringing her eyes down like she's sleepy. Maybe you know who discovered them then. And sure, I says. Everyone knows it was Coyote who discovered them. Oh, says Coyote, innocently. Well, tell me that story. I love the stories about that sneaky one, and I don't think I know that one. Santa Coyote likes being told about herself.
Everybody likes to hear accolades about themselves.
Right. So here is the story that Coyote gets told. Coyote was heading west. There was nothing else in the world but Coyote, and she could see all the way to the end of it. There were no mountains, there were no rivers, no forests. It was all flat. So she starts to think about things to fix the world. What sort of things she could make. So Coyote asks me, I probably should leave the character of Grandpa Carmen. I am Grandpa Thomas King, I guess. Uh-huh. So Coyote asks me, what did she make first? And I said, well, maybe she made the tree that grows by the river. Or maybe she made the buffalo. Or maybe she made the mountain. Or maybe she made the clouds. Coyote asks, maybe she made the rainbow? I said, no. Dipshit. Mink made the rainbow.
Definitely not the rainbow.
Yeah. Everybody knows Mink made the rainbow, you piece of shit.
Get it together. She says, what about the moon? I said, no, not that either. Otter found the moon in a pond later on. Come on. Jeez.
Jesus.
What about the oceans? No, I said, the oceans were already there. She didn't do any of that. The first thing Coyote made was a mistake.
Oh.
A big one, too.
Got her.
She was...
Roast her ass, Grandpa.
So she was going west thinking of things to make, trying to think of everything to make at once. And that's, I mean, that's my problem as a creative. It's just like, yeah, too many projects all in the head. Can't focus on
a lot of
on
analysis
one.
Paralysis.
Yep. So because she's all bungled up in her brain thinking of too many projects to do, she doesn't see a hole in front of her and falls into it. And all her thoughts bumped around and ran into each other and ended up falling her out of her ears and into that hole. So now there's the hole, there's Coyote in it, and the big mistake in it with her. "Ho," says the mistake, "you must be Coyote." The mistake is real big, and the hole is real small, so there's not a lot of room in there. I don't want to tell you what the mistake looked like, because it was the first mistake in the world, and it's pretty bad. I can't look at it. I gotta close my eyes, and you'd better close your eyes too, Coyote.
This is fascinating.
So Coyote, currently at me, Grandpa Timothy or whatever's house, puts her hands over her eyes, but she doesn't fool me. I can see that she is peeking.
Did she put her skin back on yet?
No, her skin's been on. That's the thing, Thomas, not Timothy. That's the thing that you've got to watch, though. Like, the skin will still be there. That's just her sneaking out of it to go bite you.
What is this big whoa-oh mistake somebody made? What does it look like?
So back in the hole with the mistake, Coyote is thinking about the hole and how to get out of it and how to get that big mistake back into her head where it belongs. And the mistake asks her what she's thinking about, and she says she's thinking of a song to make the hole bigger. And he says, "Well, let's hear it. It is pretty cramped in here."
The mistake is gendered?
Yeah.
All right.
So she sings a song to make the mistake smaller, but the mistake hears it and grabs her nose, pulling off her mouth so that she can't sing, and then he jumps up and down until she is flat before it leaves to wander around looking for other things to do.
Is the mistake a roadrunner?
Yes. The mistake is a roadrunner. Close your eyes, don't look. It's
this
terrible
is getting
looking.
Extremely loony-toony right now.
So Coyote's feeling bad because she's stuck in a hole, mouthless and flat and full of stomp holes. So she tries to sing a healing song, but she has no mouth. So she tries to sing it with her nose, but her nose just drips. So she thinks real hard about her options, and she tries to sing out of her butthole. This is the gift I'm giving you.
When faced with adversity, sing out of your butthole.
One causes the other. It is certainly true. Adversity does cause
butthole song.
Beef hole singing.
So goes the butthole.
Mm-hmm.
And the hole she's...
I'm familiar.
Yeah, the
yes,
hole she's stuck
in. It sure does.
Heard that before.
And the hole she's stuck in starts to get smelly. But she lies there for somewhere between 2 days and an entire year, slowly teaching her butthole to sing a healing song.
Wait, the butthole has a mind of its own?
Does yours not?
Yeah, you're right.
How much control do we truly have over our butthole, if you think about it?
Yeah, you're right. Merry Christmas, everyone.
It's the dream, though, isn't it? Full control.
Complete control.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start by singing it a song, I guess.
100% assimilation of the butthole.
Into the rest of the system. Mind, body, heart, butthole. All together.
So the healing song works, and she unflattens. She finds her mouth and puts it back on, and she tells her butthole to stop singing. But her butthole likes singing now.
That's mistake number two.
Yeah. So she runs across the prairies real fast, but the butthole keeps following her, singing its song.
Yeah, it would.
She jumps in a lake, but it does not drown her butthole.
Does it propel her like a boat?
Well, then she hears a voice ask, "Who's doing all that singing?" And a second voice asks, "Who's making that bad smell?" And the third voice says, "Well, it must be Coyote." And a fourth voice says, "Yeah, that sounds right." So back in me, Grandpa Thomas's house, Coyote sits up straight in my chair. And she puts her nose back in my tea like a rude boy. And she says, I know who the voice is. It must be the mistake playing a trick because nothing else was made yet. And I said, no, the mistake is busy doing other shit.
And she keep says, up, coyote.
Well, then it must be spirits. And I said, nope, it's ducks. And so, coyote.
What is this schoolyard tete-a-tete between an old man and a coyote? Nuh-uh, it's ducks.
So she's like, well, where the fuck do the ducks come from? And I tell her to calm down. The story's going to be okay. The story's doing fine, and it knows where it's going. Anyway.
Does it?
My reassurance to you, the story's fine. It's fine, and it knows what it's doing.
The story has no problems. It's on the track still.
All right, so back in fart times, Coyote sees four ducks in the lake, and she's like, hey, where did you come from? I didn't make you yet. And the duck said, yeah, we were waiting to be made, and then you didn't come, so we got sick of waiting, and we did it ourselves. Coyote says, well, I was in a hole, and her butthole keeps saying.
How are ducks that powerful?
Do you doubt the power of the duck?
Madam, in fact, I do doubt the power of a duck to will itself into being. I call shenanigans on this story, Grandpa Carmen.
It's Grandpa Thomas. Thank Sorry. You very much. Tyler, the story knows where it's going. If there's anything you've learned from this podcast over the years, it's to trust that the story knows where it's going. And that it's all going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So she asks them if they'd seen anything go by recently. And the ducks ask if it was awful to look at, and she says yes. And they ask if it's got ugly fur, and she says yes. They ask if it's noisy. She said, I think so. And they ask if it's smelly. She's like, I seem to recall it was. And they say, yeah, it's right behind you. She turns around and she sees nothing, but her butthole does sing some more, and I guess that alerts her to what they're talking about. She says, no, not that. That's not what I'm looking for. And the ducks say, well, maybe you're looking for, and the story here says Indians. I'm going to change it to people, because nothing else is made yet, so it's people.
India isn't a place, India, and it certainly isn't this place.
Right, it's the wrong place, and it doesn't
exist
yet.
Even if it were a place.
So I'm just going to call them people. So Coyote's surprised, because she hasn't made people either. She says, boy, mischief is everywhere. The world is getting bent.
Get bent, Earth.
Yeah, it sucks out there.
So while Coyote and ducks are talking, they hear a noise like something is coming. But they freak out a little bit, but it's nothing bad. It's just a river coming along.
Hmm?
Hello, says the river. Nice day for a swim. Coyote does not want to swim. And she looks at the river and she's like, wait a second, something's not right with this river. Where are the rocks and the rapids and the waterfalls? How come you're so straight? So she decides to fix the river. She puts rocks in it. She makes sure it only runs one way and that it has the waterfalls and rapids added to it. And she gets tired and curls up to take a nap. The ducks wake her up shouting at her that something else is coming along. And Mountain comes sliding by, whistling, very happy, very round, full of grapes and apples and all kinds of fruits. Howdy do, says the Mountain. Nice day for whistling.
Man, I wish I was alive back then. The world seems like it was a really kooky Toontown place.
It's very
so boring now.
And Coyote says, well, this is one fucked mountain, and so she fixes it up with craggy peaks and cliffs and snow.
Does the mountain want that?
Who cares what the mountain wants? Coyote's fixing things.
Okay.
Coyote is bringing her gifts of cheer and joy and quick fixes to all the land.
Crafting the world in her vision.
Right. Back with me, Grandpa Thomas. Coyote is putting her nose in my tea again and asks, hey, why is Coyote changing all these good things? She is a real sly one to ask me, Grandpa Thomas, that question, so I squeeze her nose to check that she's still in her coyote skin.
Gotta check.
She is. It's fine.
There's no skinless coyote around here.
Right. So I say, well, maybe it's because she's mean. And she says, no, Coyote's sweet and kind. I say, well, maybe she's dumb. She says, no, she's very wise.
Come on. I say, well, nuh-uh.
Maybe she made a mistake. She says, oh, no, she already made one of those.
Never again.
Yeah.
Where did mistake go?
It's just wandering.
All right.
And I say, well, then she must be doing the right thing, fixing the world to be perfect. And Coyote says, yeah, that sounds right. Perfect world, done. Coyote knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So back in Butthole Times, Coyote needs to find who's messing with the world. She travels north, south, and east and finds nothing. And then she goes west. She finds a pile of snow tires and televisions and vacuum cleaners. And on top of them all, there's the big mistake. Sitting and reading a department store catalog.
Anything good in there?
Well, Mistake turns to Coyote and says, hey, you want a hydraulic jack? And Coyote stays quiet so she won't lose her mouth again. But her butthole does start singing. It just can't stop. It's got all
Can't stop, won't stop.
It's got all the Christmas carols memorized. Now it's in basically a pile of department store nonsense, so it's got to sing the Christmas carols. So the mistake asks what that noise is, and Coyote says, don't worry about it. I'm looking for people. You seen them? I got toaster ovens, says the mistake. And Coyote says, yeah, we don't need those. Could you maybe stop making them? Like, they're going to fill up the world.
No more steaks, please.
You're going to blot out the sun with toaster ovens.
The mistake keeps looking at the catalog and things keep landing in piles all around Coyote. She begs him to stop and he says, no, 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 these are good things. People are going to need them, especially for Christmas times. And he says, well, she says, well, we don't have any people. He's like, oh, you're right. We should fix that. Let's make some. But unfortunately, the catalog does not sell people, so they can't go that route. And Coyote doesn't know how to make people because she already made four things, and I guess that's her quota, so she needs some help.
Ask the ducks. They seem knowledgeable about willing things into existence.
Well, the ducks do come swimming along.
Great.
One of the ducks is red, one is white, one is blue, and one is green, and they all offer to help. So Coyote tells the ducks to go ahead and make some people because the story is pretty long and it's late and everyone wants to go home.
We would like this to be over, please.
So the ducks laid some eggs, and then they sang a song, and then the coyotes and the ducks and the mistake do a dance for a long time around the eggs. Coyote gets hungry partway through, because it is the role of tricksters in all stories to be hungry for something at least once, and she says, oh, I know this dance, but you do have to close your eyes or it doesn't work. So the ducks and the mistake all close their eyes, but Coyote keeps hers open and grabs the white duck. The duck begins to flap her wings, and the mistake hears the noise and opens his eyes and says, no, Coyote, that's not how this dance goes. It's none of the steps. Coyote says, whoops, I'm getting it mixed up with another, and lets the duck go. So she does the same with the other ducks until it gets to the red duck, and he says, hey, Coyote's fucking this dance up a lot, so like we'll close one eye, but we're going to keep one open so we can help her out, because she keeps forgetting the steps and assuming that it, like one of those dance steps is swallow a duck. And it's just not working.
That's how the waltz works.
Right.
1, 2, 3, swallow a duck.
And this is a foxtrot, so... So they dance, and the eggs begin to move and crack, and inside are... guesses?
More ducks.
More butts.
Additional ducks.
Tyler got it in one. It's just more ducks.
Why would it be anything else? It's ducks.
It's eggs.
It's always ducks.
Ducks all the way down.
It's always gonna be ducks.
The ducks are like, well, whoops, we didn't get the dance right. Let's try it again. So they lay more eggs. They try the dance. They end up doing this 7 times. And it is, in fact, ducks all the way down.
Covers the world in ducks and toaster ovens. It's the worst Christmas ever.
I don't know. That's an admirable start.
Oh, well, say the four ducks. This is more ducks than we need.
This is probably more than necessary, even.
So I guess we have to be people now.
What?
So the four ducks turn into 2 women and 2 men.
Oh.
And they're very attractive for people, but they're not very attractive for ducks.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess beauty standards differ.
Right.
Between duck and man.
So, like, for us, we'd be like, man, those are some hot people. But for the ducks, they're like, where the fuck are our wings?
Those are weird-looking ducks.
It's so bony and featherless. It sucks. So they're pretty bummed about it. They stomp Coyote flat again. I'm not sure how this became Coyote's fault.
They could probably just change back if they want.
Maybe just get the one.
You don't, because they willed themselves into existence. It's already two. They were nothing, and then they were ducks, and now they're people.
Yes.
So they leave, and her butthole sings the healing song again. And fixes her up. So I, Grandpa Thomas, tell Coyote, please stop trying to fix the world. Like, it doesn't go well. You're not good at it.
Apparently.
And Coyote says, that's cool. I'm going to go tell Raven that story. And we're going to fix the world for sure this time, because now we know how to do it right.
Me and Raven Simone are going to sing out of our buttholes and fix the planet. This is the plot of Final Fantasy XVII.
So she drinks my tea and she leaves, and I can't talk anymore because I have to go watch the sky for falling things that land in piles, because when Coyote wanders around looking to fix things, nobody is safe. Merry Christmas!
Wow.
So I feel like we got some stuff to unpack there.
Indeed!
It's quite a story. I appreciate that sort of all of us culturally can get on board with the fact that haha duck sound like fart.
Duck and fart are linked.
Yeah. Like that's
intrinsically.
Yeah, like that's very good. I'm glad that unites us.
I mean, the butthole song does sound like ducks.
Yeah.
I mean, the butthole song was from the Coyote. It had nothing to do with the ducks. So I don't know what you're talking about.
They're just...
They sound alike, though.
Yeah. They belong together in the same story.
So they could harmonize pretty well in a, like, a door-to-door caroling situation.
Yeah, if they want to fix the world. I have two independent thoughts about the mistake.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we should really talk about this mistake.
Yeah.
First and foremost, do we think that the mistake is a known entity already to us?
That it's still wandering around?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with yeah.
I think yes. What do you think it is?
It could be a number of individuals we are already familiar with.
On three, we're all going to say what we think the mistake is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is everybody ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm going we'll see what our delay is.
Yeah. Okay. One, two, three. The cherry man. Oh. Okay.
Cherry man. Okay.
Oh, you mean in fiction?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What did you say? I missed it.
I said the Charmin bears, and I stand by it.
Okay. And Carmen, you said Bezos.
Yeah.
So.
Daddy Bezos. Yeah, that's not great.
Because it's just sitting atop like a pile of vacuum cleaners and bullshit, saying, you want more of this?
I have a theory that Bezos is Immortal Boney, but we can unpack that at a later date.
Oh, don't you ruin Immortal Boney for me. He is my folklore crush.
I mean, Immortal Boney could be the mistake also.
It's true.
Immortal Boney, we already know where Immortal
Boney
came
from. Yeah, I think we have a more compelling origin for him.
Yeah. Now, I do kind of like the Cherry Man for our lore.
Right, if in our lore there is any mistake of nature, it is the Cherry Man.
Because we've also equated the Cherry Man to the trickster entities in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, Coyote is one of the fundamental trickster entities.
My second individual thought about this mistake is going to be a little more esoteric. But, Carmen, you are familiar with the song Into the Unknown from Frozen 2.
Oh my god, yes, yes. Okay. I kind of see where you're going with this.
There is a line in that song that you particularly hate, and I have come around to just kind of ignoring. But
the most flattering thing you can say about a song lyric.
In that song, Elsa sings, "What do you want? Because you've been keeping me awake. Are you here to distract me so I make a big mistake?" Is this what happened to Coyote? And is this what Elsa fears?
Yeah, Elsa is...
She fears creating an entity that will make toaster ovens that cover Arendelle.
Right, she already did ice that covered Arendelle, and so toasters is the next thing to be afraid of.
Frozen 3 ovens.
I saw a meme lately, and we don't have to keep this in the show. This just reminded me of this. It's like, I have a hot house to protect me from the cold outside, and inside the hot house, I have a smaller cold house to protect my food from the hot of the hot house. And sometimes I take my food out of the cold house and I put it in a smaller, even hotter house.
We've got this all figured out, don't we?
And that's how humanity rules.
So does that improve that lyric for you now that we know that you can indeed make a big mistake and it will be alive and mock you? If you are sufficiently magical.
If you are sufficiently magical, you can have a mistake fall out of your ears if you are too distracted. And then the mistake will sit and read a department store catalog for quite some time.
It sounds very whimsical to me.
I would like to solidify this as a holiday story so that we can pretend like I planned this the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I could actually see this making kind of a compelling Krimble's Time film about, like, the greed of man and the constant manufacturing of bullshit junk that is advertised and pushed around the Krimble's Times.
That people will definitely need, whether or not those people exist yet.
Right. Like, I do like that idea of, like, if I build it, people will come and then need it.
The big mistake that Coyote made was capitalism.
Yeah, basically, yes. That is what the mistake is.
An entity that mass produces these objects for people that don't exist, don't have homes, and are ducks.
And then attempts to manufacture the need for those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, given our initial casting of Coyote as lesbian Santa running around giving gifts to people, I like the idea that this, like, once a year she is traveling west to meet Raven.
Mm-hmm.
Raven Simone, the Rudolph Raven of Simone. The situation. to go fix the world. So once a year, Coyote travels around the world with Raven Simone trying to fix it, but instead just unleashing a big mistake to throw toaster ovens under people's Christmas trees. And it produces a lot of waste and garbage and bullshit.
And that's why Coyote will never truly fix the world.
Right. She didn't learn from her mistake, and she thinks that she is kind and sweet and wise instead of dumb and cruel, as Grandpa Thomas says. So under this guise of kindness and generosity, Coyote is filling the world with bullshit.
Just like Santa.
Yep. Merry Krimbles.
What a heartwarming tale for us all.
Look, we have seen through a long period of experience, many hours of film watching, that if you slam Christmas in the title, somebody will make it for you, regardless of its quality. Like, someone will sign off on that and be like, yeah, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proposing this as our holiday special, the What the Folklore Great. Holiday Special film.
Extravaganza.
About the mistake of capitalism and lesbian Coyote Santa. I think we could get a screenplay together. If you're bored in New Hampshire, we'll call over Discord. We'll start writing that out.
We need to put a woman in an Elsa costume and have her be really afraid of the big mistake, because that's what really sells on YouTube.
That's true. Well, that can be part of our...
Is women in Elsa costumes in some form of distress.
Yeah.
Is that a thing that is happening?
Not anymore, really. It was for a while.
Was it?
We'll make a video about Elsa's big butt mistake, and we'll put it on YouTube, and it'll get a lot of clicks.
It's so many clicks, dude.
Can we record Into the Unknown in fart noises while Elsa is afraid of a big mistake? And then call that the trailer for our film about a lesbian Coyote Santa who introduces capitalism to the world.
It worked for Food Fight.
I think the SEO, such a horrible phrase, is going to be pretty pungent, though.
Pungent like a fart singing into the unknown?
Yeah, Elsa, but lesbian.
Capitalism.
Santa capitalism mistakes.
You know, we could test that and make that the episode title.
We
get a lot of clicks on this one.
We sure could. Hi perverts, if you did find us by typing in some naughty things, then I hope you've enjoyed the destination.
I hope we met your expectations when you ran that Google search. Don't tell us about it, though. We hope, but don't want to know. So, I think I delivered on a holiday special after all.
I'm feeling warm and fuzzy.
I kind of want to make this movie in a legit fashion.
And full of cheer.
Well, thank you, Gabe, Halloween Hype, for suggesting this very, very fart-filled, glorious holiday tale.
It truly delivered.
Thank you to everyone for listening to it, and I hope that it made you feel warm and fuzzy and anti-capitalist. The true meaning of the season.
The season of giving.
Thank you to our patrons for helping to keep us afloat as we forget what time is and wander aimlessly through the end of this year. Thank you to our top tier patrons. Midori, Lily, Janice. I'm going to go ahead and say Janice Simmons, because I'm pretty sure this is one of your manufactured names that you guys did one day when I wasn't looking. Kelly, Elsie Pryor, Katarina, Kay Ghoul, Tasmanian Tiger, Kula, Funky Little Strawberry, Lemur, Spag Ghost, Coast to Coast, Caitlin, Danielle, Wyatt, The Holly Jolly Santa Fe, Olwyn, Queen of Terrible Taste, Allie, Pants for Spiders, Kim Roberts, Versus Me 101, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Kelty, Nathan the Scott, Alex, Walter, Daving Myself for Marriage, Maya, Grace Bus Devotee, High Listus of Wimbus, Yahweh Yahweh, Little Smorgasbord, Haley, Dominic, Justin, Jeremiah, Ladybug the Extorter, Izzy, Heather, Hi Meow Lady, The Cult of Cricket, and Nuisance of the Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
also, Pants for Spiders, definitely in the mistakes catalog.
Indeed. But it's a small part, so I didn't read it that much. So there are a lot fewer of those than there are toaster ovens. Happy holidays, whatever holidays that you celebrate this time of year or others. Because what is time? I don't know. And we'll see if we get our crap together for other stuff. And otherwise, we will see you in 2021. I make no predictions or even hopes about what that year will bring. I am too afraid.
We have given up.
We were
way too optimistic last year.
It'll be what it will be, and we will maybe survive it.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. We're what the Thanks, folklore. Doug. That's how it works.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.